Wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. So nice to see our family here today. It's kind of coming back home for us, for my family. It has been about 7 months we have been away from Crossroad family. And although, you know, I've been joining you in the online service, you know, while the service is going on, as much as possible I was joining you here. It is wonderful to see so many faces here after many, many months. And we have some visitors, and I think Pastor Anton is here from Sri Lanka. Andrew's dad and his mom or family members, only him. And there are so many others. I'm seeing Haima here and Amrita and so many other people. It's so nice to be here. You know, Thanksgiving is an amazing weekend. And that kicks off into the Christmas season. And this is the time to eat. You know, I was thinking, I was asking my family, you please count some of the blessings that God has blessed you with. My son and daughter both said, oh, God has blessed us. We are thankful to the Lord for so many blessings. Then I told them, just name one or two. Then they were stuttering for this. Sometime we take it for granted. We say, oh, we have so many blessings, but we are not able to articulate one or two or three blessings we are specifically thank the Lord for. Last night we were awake for a long time. We studied Bible with my children, my wife and children, till 1:30. And I was asking them to count the blessings God has placed in their life, because, you know, as father and mother, we will be leaving them soon. My children, both of them, are into young adulthood. And I was able to help them to articulate some of the specific things they can be thankful to the Lord for. And as I was invited to give a devotion today, and I was just thinking, what shall we thank the Lord for? You know, we have so many things as a church to be thankful to the Lord for. I still remember last year we meditated on Psalm 113 about God's sovereignty. But I thought, let us be a little more specific today. So one of the Psalms which I am so, fascinated for is Psalm 40. Psalm 40 is a Thanksgiving Psalm. There are two Psalms in it. That is what I believe. Psalm 41, 1 to 10 is a Thanksgiving Psalm where the psalmist is giving thank the Lord for one specific thing that happened in his life. The background is this. I speculate, I think, I assume, in light of some of the words, the background of the psalm is this. You know, if you go to Israel, it's a kind of hilly place. They don't get rain that lot. Northern part of Israel gets a lot of rain, but southern part, they don't get rain. So what they do is, in the mountainous place or hilly place, they dug holes, especially in a kind of rocky place, so that these holes can collect water. And the shepherd boys go around these places. They can put a bucket and fetch water and, make the sheep drink. This is there around the nation Israel. When I was there, I was able to see one such cistern where rainwater comes, gets collected, and after that, the shepherd boy comes and collects the water from there. Sometime it gets filled because the silts and sediments go inside. It is kind of a sticky, miry type of clay. Especially in Israel, the silt or the mud is silky or slippery because of the calcium in it. Someone by mistake falls inside because there is no sign, no board, warning boards there or caution. There is a cistern here. So, you know, someone can just go and fall inside. When I was in Kerala several years ago, when I was there for our son's delivery, Alice was in Kerala. At that time, one of our neighbor's wells people were all people gathered around this well, and I found out someone the night who had come to steal something from the house, he did not know that there was a well which, that was not protected. He fell inside and he died. And similarly, I think the background of this psalm is this. There was a life situation where psalmist was inside a cistern-like situation. Or, you know, he was not physically inside, but a life situation that was so slimy, insecure, slippery, isolated, lonely. You know, so many people can say, oh, I have been lonely. You know, we can be surrounded by a lot of family people, still we can be lonely. You know, we may have education, money, and influence, still we can be insecure. I don't want you to put your hand up, but there may be several people. I was, just a few months ago, when I was leaving the church, I was getting a very good check, and as I was leaving, you know, people were asking, what will you do? You know, that check is going to stop. For some time, I was insecure. Because a lot of time we think money is our security. A lot of time we think people are our security. Whenever there is a problem, they say, oh, I'll go to my parents. I'll go to my brothers. Oh, I'll go to my friends. When we are comfortable, when we have a lot of things, we are surrounded by friends and families and a lot of people around us. But when we are alone, when we are insecure, when we are isolated, sadly, we will be all by ourselves. That is the background of the psalm. A life situation, something like the psalmist being inside a cistern where he would die. Because in a remote place, even if he cries, no one would hear because the voice wouldn't come out. But you know, we have a God who hears our cry. He heard the cry of Jonah from the belly of the fish. The same God was there to rescue this man. We will just read this the psalm verse by verse, and we will try to highlight some of the principles for us to give thanks to the Lord this evening. I waited patiently for the Lord. I'm reading from Psalm NIV, but you may have a different translations. Last night, I was using my Hebrew Bible, and I was trying to understand what it is. It is not waiting patiently. In Eastern language, you can say, I waited for the Lord. In other words, I waited for a prolonged period of time. We don't know how long this man waited. Maybe 5 minutes or 5 days. Maybe for a long period of time, he was waiting for the Lord. There may be here, we are waiting for something. Maybe waiting for our marriage, waiting for our children, waiting for a job, waiting for a door to open. And, you know, you are not alone. Psalmist who experienced God's blessing, he says, I waited for a long time, not for people, not for provisions, but for the Lord. You know why? The next statement says, he turned to me and heard my cry. So this man, as he was waiting, he was not waiting just sleeping on the bed, but he was crying. The word cry there is a loud cry. It is not just, you know, crying softly, but he was crying so loud because he was all by himself. He was isolated. That is what we are going to read in the next verse. Verse 2, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. You know, he was in a kind of life situation which was slimy. You know, I don't know if you have this experience. I've had this experience. My father used to have the paddy field, rice field. When they are ready to sow the seed, they keep the paddy field so ready that you put your leg inside. You know, you may think it is just 1 inch deep, but you put down, it goes down and goes down, and sometime if you're short, it'll be till here. You know, because it's kind of marshy land. Similarly, this man was in a situation something like a slimy pit. He didn't have any security to just hold him firm. You know, when he was away, crying all by himself, waiting for the Lord, he was lonely. Maybe, he had some problem others did not really understand, so they were ridiculing him in light of verse 3. Some people were ridiculing. Oh, you are crying. Something like Job. When Job was going through his situation, his friends, very close friends, he expected some comforts from, but they were ridiculing him. They were, judging him as a sinner, unrighteous man. Probably this man, as he was waiting and crying for God's deliverance, maybe he must have gone through ridicule. But the situation is changed. God turned towards him and lifted him up and set him on a strong place to stand on. The word strong place, here it is a firm place or a rock, but the actual translation is it's a cleft of the rock. You know, at one point this man was sinking and he was going to die. He didn't have any security, but all of a sudden God just pulled him out from there and put him in the cleft of the rock. You know that, cleft of the rock is so strong and so secured, nothing can come. Even a strong earthquake cannot shake this place. That is why we have that song, about the cleft of the rock we have in Jesus. Verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And he is saying, my situation was so bad, and now what I have is different that God has put a song in my mouth. In verse 1, he was crying. And continuously he was crying. Now he was singing and he's saying, my life is so different now that others will look at me and I will be a point person for God. This is what the principle I'd like to highlight here. Tell others what God did to you in the recent past. God is able to help you in your hopeless, messy life. Who said our life is coming to an end? Who said we don't have any hope? Who said the doors are closed? Who said there is no one to help us? We don't need anyone to come and help us. We don't need a lot of materials to come and just bless us as long as we have the Lord with us. God provides the one who waits on him a stable place to feel secure. We will continue the psalm. Verse 4 says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud or to those who turn aside to false gods. It is not blessed in the original language. It is strong is the person. Or a person becomes strong when God becomes his security. And there are a few things psalmist has contrasted here. He says, a person doesn't become strong if he has influences. Proud people. I have seen several people who are proud. If they have some education, they are proud. They want to have the degree in the front and the back. The title in the front and degree in the back. And they just go around like this. And if they have money, they are so prideful. I was in India for 2 months recently. As most of us know, the situation in India is completely different. And you talk about $100 here and you just open the wallet and just look at $100. They just throw 100,000 rupees. And they just buy land left and right. They have a lot of money. And when they have money and they have influence, they become so prideful. They, judge people. They laugh at people. If we have 100 people as our friends, we don't become strong. Because their strength is in a shallow place. And false gods. And, it's not just idols which are false gods. I used to be a follower of idols. I used to go every Tuesday and Friday to go around an idol. idol did not move. I did not wash itself. I had to go and wash the idol. I had to pour oil on the idol. And I had to go around for a whole year. When I did, nothing happened to the idol. They are false gods. We think only the tangible ones we see are the false gods. There are a lot of other false gods we have fallen prey to. We say, I have the safest job in the world. I'm working for the safest company in the world. I have so much of land that I have invested, I don't need to be concerned about. These things are all good. But do they make us strong? Not really. That is why Psalmist says in Psalm 124, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. That Mount Zion was there 2,000 years ago. It is here today. If the Lord's coming delays, it will be there for another 2,000 years. Those who trust in the Lord cannot be shaken by sicknesses, cannot be shaken by some of the problems that arise on our way. And that is what he's saying. You know, blessed is the one who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud. And many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to count or declare. I like that hymn that we often sing, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. And it will amaze you as you start counting. And Psalm is saying, you know, who was in the system type of situation, who had no hope to come out, who had no hope to have a continued living. Now he's saying, Lord, you have best plans for us. You know, the most famous passage, Jeremiah 29:11, I have a plan for you, plans to give you hope and a future. You know, when Jeremiah wrote that one, when God gave that passage, when the people were in Babylon, serving as slaves, and Jeremiah, who was sitting in Jerusalem, he wrote a letter and sent it to the people in Jerusalem, in Babylon, and he's saying, when you are there, God has not forsaken, God has not given up on you, you know, he has the best plans for you, plans to give you a hope and a trust, blessing for future. The same thing Psalmist is saying, you know, just because you are in a momentary troubles and difficulties doesn't mean God has forgotten. God is not in your life. You know, the principle I see from verse 4 to 5 is this. Recognize what God is for you today. It's very important as we come together like this is to recognize who God is. These days, you know, two things fascinate me. One is the fatherhood of God. I'm just, you know, every week when I visit with some of my group members in the Rowlett area, I talk to them about the fatherhood of God. It amazes me. And another one is the holy matrimony, Christian marriage. That amazes me. We've been just thinking and discussing about it. It's so beautiful. And now, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we have to really see what God means to us. What is He to us? One thing in light of this verses 4 and 5 is God is our security. Wherever you are, whatever stage you are in, you know, God is your security. You take it from the experience of the psalmist. And from verse 5 we read, God has plans for those who trust in Him. When we put our trust in Him, maybe we don't have a job right now. We may not have a house now. Maybe we don't have a lot of finance now. We may be looking for a job. Doesn't matter. But if you have God as your security, He really becomes your security. You know, He will give you the strength that you need, which you will not get from the people. And you will not get from the false gods that you sometimes trust in. We will go to the next section, the final section, verse 7 to 10. Then I said, here I am, verse 6 to 10. Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. You know, as we were singing here, I was just thinking, how easy it is to celebrate Thanksgiving. You know, we say we want to celebrate Thanksgiving, and we eat a lot of turkey. You know, it's easy to celebrate Thanksgiving. But psalmist who has really understood who God is and how God works in our lives, and he is saying, Lord, sacrifice and offerings you are not pleased with. It's easy to sacrifice to the Lord. You catch a goat and cut it because you're not being cut. You know, it doesn't cost your life. So we can just catch a goat or, you know, take some money from the bank and give it to the Lord, and we think that is it. But he is saying, Lord, sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, but my ears you have pierced. That is the sender of this first section of the psalm is. People think of piercing of the ear here to put kamal to the stud. No. It is, in literary terms, it's called periphrasis, or a different way of saying is, Lord, you have given me a pierced ear. That means the best thanksgiving, the best offering I can give to you is to listen to you and be obedient. So the best thanksgiving, according to the psalmist, is to be obedient, not just eating, not just giving, not just singing. These are all part of it. But most important one is to have a pierced ear. A lot of time we say, oh, I have a pierced ear. In Hebrew understanding, listening is not just listening, cognitive listening. Listening is an affective listening. In other words, if you say, Father, I will go, and if you still stay at home, then you have not really listened. But if you say, I will go, and you go, that means you have already listened. Listening and obedience are one and the same. Similarly, the psalmist is saying, Lord, you don't require sacrifice and offerings. If you were pleased with it, I would have given you plenty. But Lord, you have given me a pierced ear, or you have given me a spirit of obedience. I think that is why God was so pleased with Abraham. He said, my servant, Abraham. And he looked at David and he said, oh, my friend, a man after my own heart, probably because of their pierced ear. And that is why Jesus we look at, and he did not consider his position as something equal with Father, but he obeyed, not just to become a man, but he humbled himself even to the cross to die for you and me. That is obedience here. We'll quickly go through verse 8, 9, and 10. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do what your will. Oh, my God, your law is within my heart. And he's saying, the best thanksgiving is my desire to do your will. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. True thanksgiving involves a deeper dedication to God. We celebrate Thanksgiving every year. And we are going to, as long as we are in this country, and as long as we enjoy the blessings of this beautiful place, we are going to eat turkey, and we are going to have a lot of food, and maybe by the time we finish Christmas, we'll add maybe 10 pounds or 15, minimum 10 pounds. But the true Thanksgiving and true Christmas spirit involves a deeper dedication to God. That is what we see in Psalms here. Dedication to God is to know what pleases Him. You know, we have to really find out what pleases God. We say we want to do the will of God. It's all in abstract term, but we have to ask, Lord, what pleases you today that I can obey you or I can be obedient to you? It may be very difficult. Sometimes it may be easy. That is what we see from words like pierced ear and maybe desire. And we see that in the psalm. Make sure that you tell others regularly what God has done in your life, which is a sure way to keep you victorious in your spiritual life. I was part of a church from 83 to 86 when I became a believer. It was a Tamil church, very small church. But whenever I went, my spirit was pumped up. Not because they were just playing big music and just clapping their hands. They were there. But everyone had something to tell about God. A testimony. And some parents would force the children to get up and tell their testimony. I believe we need to learn that. We have to get back to that discipline of sharing our testimony to others. I brag about God all the time. You know, even in the initial days of our life here as family, Crossroad family, we saw God just guiding us step after step after step. We can always thank the Lord, you know, brag about God to the world. When the world brags about their things, we can brag about our God. We can, family members used to say, oh, don't tell those things. But how can I keep quiet if I have enjoyed the blessings from the Lord? I cannot. That is why Psalmist says here, I will declare you righteous to the assembly. And in Psalm 116, the same thing saying, that which I vowed, I will just declare it to the people in public. When we come together, we have to encourage one another with our testimony. So, what is the takeaway today? Just one takeaway I'd like to give you. Obedience to God's teaching in His Word is the best way to celebrate Thanksgiving. You know, we just recollected around the table what we are thankful to the Lord for. I told them that I'm thankful to the Lord for friends and families. But the best way, in light of what we just read from Psalm 40, the best way to celebrate Thanksgiving is to be obedient to God's will. So, you know, it's difficult. I'll illustrate this one, how we can be obedient. Last night I asked my wife and children, how are you going to be obedient as we celebrate this Thanksgiving? My wife said that she wanted to love me more. And also she said, I helped her, that she would believe what God says. And my son said, he will believe what God tells about him. And also he will be faithful to his commitment to the church, local church. He is part of a church in Fort Worth. And my daughter also said something I don't really remember now. But this is what I said to my family. I'm going to love my wife. Because, as you know, I have a personality. I just want to do something, I'll just go and do it. If I want to go and accomplish something, I accomplish a lot of time at the cost of my family. And a lot of time, you know, my wife gets ignored. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24 says, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. I know it here. I have preached this passage several times. But as I celebrate Thanksgiving, and as I learn from Psalm 40, that obedience is the best way to celebrate Thanksgiving. So I want to tell my wife that I'm going to be obedient by loving you. Just as Christ loved the church. So 23 years after we got married, you know, my wife is going to experience, I hope, a different life of relationship. The second one is, I want to be obedient to Great Commission. Great Commission is there in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. God says, go into all the world. Jesus says, God, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. Wherever I go, you know, you throw me in the ocean, I want to be obedient to Christ. If some fish come along, I want to preach to the fish. But the key is this, as we celebrate, as we are going to get ready for the fellowship, how are we going to celebrate this Thanksgiving? Is it going to be the same that we did before? As, you know, you ate turkey and just shook hands with one another and, you know, then also took a long weekend off and after that we go to work? Or this Thanksgiving is slightly different, that we will say, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord in one thing. Just one thing. And you read the scripture and say, this is what the Lord is speaking to me. I'm going to be obedient. Someone said the other day, you know, he wants to get back to the habit of getting up in the morning, 5 o'clock. He wanted to just intercede sacrificially for the people. That is an amazing thing we can do. Someone said, you know, I have not been giving to the church. There are people, staff working, rent to be taken care, electricity has to be paid, electricity charges has to be taken care, and you know, the church has to run. It's a beautiful church, and but he said he was not faithful in giving. He was just giving, but not faithfully in carefully giving. And the obedience he did is he was going to give not just 10%, but just graciously. He was going to give to the church to see God's work doing. It is an amazing obedience. That is the best way of celebrating Thanksgiving. You know, some people can say, oh, I'm going to have my family altar. Fathers can say, I'm going to conduct family altar whatever happens from now on. That is my Thanksgiving celebration. You know, this we can tell. I can brag about this one. We've been married for 23 years. I don't remember a day we went to sleep without kneeling down and praying. When we were in Ooty, working among tribals, when we were in Pune, working with a lot of assignments, and you know, and also I was a kind of student body president. Day and night, I would be just busy. But whenever we came, we would just kneel down, hold our hands, and we just pray. Sometimes it may be kind of religiosity, sometimes it is legalism, but it is all right to kneel down and pray, because a family that prays together stays together. That is a wonderful way of celebrating Thanksgiving. You know, some of us who must have been in, or who is right now in, a cistern, you don't have a security. You feel that you are isolated. You are rejected by people. It's all right. The psalmist says, I waited for the Lord with my cry to him, not to people, not to the idols, not to some of the insecure objects, or you know, objects that cannot give me any security. But I was just crying to the Lord. Could we make that decision today? That is going to be my obedience. You know, when we, a little bit later, we will be sitting around the table. When you bring your eatables, sit around the table, tell to one another, you know, this is what I want to experience this year as my Thanksgiving. One obedience, one thing you want to obey the Lord for. We'll just look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the principles we can draw from your word. Lord, we, as we celebrate this Thanksgiving, we pray that, Lord, this will not just pass by as the other Thanksgivings, but Lord, we will learn something from your word. Even as you have given us a listening ear, teach us to be obedient. Just in one thing for the next one whole year, Heavenly Father. Thank you for our family here. Thank you, Lord, for those who are visiting us for the first time, and those who are visiting us after many months and many years. Bless them, Heavenly Father, as we continue to fellowship. Help us to experience your love in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.